LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you recording now? Tags?
I am.
All right. Does anybody want to clap? Because I really enjoy clapping. It's been a while since we've all got the chance to, you know, sync our claps. Ready?
It's been a while since I had the clap. I mean, since we've clapped.
Oh, that's... Well, I'm glad it's been a while at least, but unfortunate that you ever had it. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, clap.
That would be an unfortunate podcast intro.
I'm sure John's on it already. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fans and Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me are my two best friends, Mike Tagliare and Kyle Yates. Find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliare NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Boys, it's been a long time since the three of us have been on a podcast together. How are you both doing? I'll start with you, Tags.
It's good to be back with you guys. I got to say, I'm a little sore today, though. And it's a good thing, though, because, you know, as the football season is coming to an end, we're preparing for a move and we're doing things smarter this time because moving sucks. Right. And so we started. I told Tab, I was like, hey, let's an hour or two a night. We just literally just pack up little things here and there and work room by room. So that point, when we actually have to move, it's not so bad. So it kind of sucks at this point and it makes you sore because you're lifting things, you're moving things. But in the end, I think it's going to work out.
Is this the official Tennessee move?
It is. Well, it's the official starting to actually look for homes. And so once we find one out there, then we'll list our house here and begin that whole process. Because obviously, as you guys know, it's got to be done before next August because that's when NFL season starts really ramping up and I really can't do anything.
You don't want to move. You don't want to move in the middle of the NFL season like
who
I did.
Who would do that? Oh, I'm sorry.
only an insane human being who has absolutely no idea how to manage the football season. Yates, you're here too. How are you?
I'm a little lost, man. It's been so long since I've done a podcast. Like this is a podcast, right? This is what we
do.
I'm a little lost here, but no, it's really good to be back with you guys. I'm excited.
All right. So today we've got a fun show. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off talking about some of the latest quarterback news, specifically Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford, where they're going to end up, where we'd like to see them end up, and what impact it has or might have on the fantasy landscape. Then we're going to talk some early 2021 running back rankings. We've gone through Tag's early rankings and Yates's early rankings, found a few players that they differ on. So we're just going to talk about it. I'll pick a side one way or the other as to where I have them, but we're going to break down how we feel about that. This is not Dynasty. This is for Redraft 2021. If you like Dynasty, we have good news for you. You probably know it already, but Yates is starting a new Fantasy Pros Dynasty podcast. He's going to host it with Ray Garvin. I'll probably let Yates talk about that a little later, but that's going to be dropping the week after the Super Bowl, so make sure you're looking for that. And finally, we are going to finish up with some listener questions, so that's what we're going to do. By the way, guys, if you haven't yet tried to draft the perfect 2020 fantasy team, now is the time to give our fun and addictive Perfect Draft game a shot over at fantasypros.com/perfectdraft. Best of all, you can win a signed Alvin Kamara jersey if you beat both Tags and Yates' score, and you tweet your final score at Fantasy Pros with the hashtag Perfect Draft. Details for that contest are over at fantasypros.com/giveaway. And that contest ends on Sunday night, so get your perfect draft scores in right away. That's not all, though. We've got another contest, which also ends on Sunday night. If you head to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, you leave an honest review for the show. Take a screenshot of that review. Submit it at fantasypros.com/contest. You'll be entered to have a shot at winning a signed Diontae Johnson Steelers jersey. Just head over to fantasypros.com/contest for more details on that. Remember, both contests, they end on Sunday night, so make sure to get your entries into both. Are you guys ready to go? Because this is going to be an exciting offseason, guys. After, you know, last year, seriously, we were like, oh God, are we going to have a football season? What's going to happen? Blah, 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 blah. We're ready to go. Deshaun Watson, that's the big one, right? Okay, so he has officially demanded a trade, which we all kind of knew. We were talking about it yesterday. Like, we did know that. Apparently, it was a few weeks ago that he made the official demand. I will start with you, Tags. Number one, is there any chance that you think that Deshaun Watson is back with the Texans next year?
I do. I absolutely do, because the Texans are going to want a lot for him. They basically have to get fans in the stands, and there's a way to do that, and they're trying to figure out a way to get a coaching staff that people get excited about, and they're bringing in Lovie Smith as a defensive coordinator, which is exciting. I think that's a great move by them. As for the head coach, I don't know how that's going to work out, but they have to try and figure out a way to do it, and if they don't get good compensation, and their options are limited, to be fair, because Deshaun Watson has a full no trade clause. So therefore, if a team like, let's say that the Jets came in, it seems like he's okay going there, but if the Jets came in and he didn't want to be traded there, he could just put the kibosh on that. So it's going to essentially limit the options that the Texans have. And I'm sure other teams actually know that. They're like, you know, we have enough ammo to get him. If you guys, if you don't want to trade him, we're not going to give you that additional first you want, or whatever the case may be. So I don't think that you should necessarily just shut the door on Deshaun Watson being back with the Houston Texans. I think ideally he would like to be out, but it's business. And in the end, if they don't have a move that makes sense for them as a franchise, he might be back.
And not only that, remember, I mean, given his contract, you can't, it's not only do you have to have the draft capital or whatever to be able to acquire Watson, you gotta have the cap room for it too. So there are really a limited number of suitors. Yates, I'll ask you the same question. Do you think that there's any chance that Watson's going to be back with the Texans?
I agree with Tags. It's not a 0% chance that he's, you know, not with Houston next year. I think there is a small percentage chance that he does play for them. But this is a relationship that's broken beyond repair, in my opinion. I think that it is a very small percentage chance that he suits up, because the thing is, you know, Tags is right with all the qualifications of, you know, the no trade clause, everything like that. But yet he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play in Houston. He doesn't want to play for that ownership. So he can sit out. And for him, the money's not an issue. He's going to get fined like crazy. But that's not, you know, something that he really cares about. He cares about things larger than that and the relationship there. So I think that if a team comes calling to Houston and they say, we're going to give you 3 first round picks plus, you know, a player here or there to get Deshaun Watson, Houston's got to take that move, because they need help everywhere else. They need to rebuild this roster after what Bill O'Brien did. And so they're going to need to rebuild it. Keeping Deshaun Watson on a terrible team just really doesn't make sense, especially if he doesn't want to be there.
I agree with that, Yates. And I've actually brought that up in like from a team standpoint, trading him makes all the sense in the world, because they do have to rebuild the entire roster. Like they're not one or two pieces away from being competitive or anything like that. So now I have had a lot of people comment on this on Twitter. So I want to ask you guys, like, we didn't prepare for this at all in terms of like me asking you this question, but I want your reaction. What do you say to the people that say, you know, Deshaun Watson signed this contract last year, and basically DeAndre Hopkins was already gone. He knew the state of the franchise. He signed that contract. Why did he sign with the Texans? I don't blame him, for what it's worth, for signing that contract. You take the money when it's there. I think we all learned that with Dak Prescott in terms of you take the money when it's there. But if he was unhappy with the team, why not request a trade last year?
How much was his guaranteed money? It was like something like $155
million. That's what I'm saying.
The people who are commenting that, if you get put a piece of paper in front of you that says you can get $155 million or whatever it is, I don't think that's the actual number, but like a significant amount of money guaranteed, you're saying that you're going to say no to signing that contract? Like, no, you're going to sign that contract. And the days of this can lead us down a dangerous path, which I don't think that we really need to get into on the podcast, but like the days of shut up and play, I think, are gone. Where these quarterbacks and these franchise players realize the weight that they have. And if this is a situation where Deshaun Watson does not feel valued, you know, where he feels like his true value is being recognized, then go play somewhere else. Do not waste the years of your career, especially if you are a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and it was $75 million for what it's worth, guaranteed.
$75 million, thank you.
And when you're a football player, and especially football, you take the guaranteed money. when it's there, yeah. if you can. Yeah. And look, I think the difference is I have no problem with Watson at this point basically demanding a trade. I mean, that franchise is not going to be competitive in its current state
right.
for several seasons, despite the fact that they have Watson. So I have no problem demanding a trade. At the same time, I don't like feel sympathy for Watson, right? I mean, again, he has a great contract. Oh, he right. signed it voluntarily. Right. And that's the thing. He has every right. And given that he is a superstar in the NFL, he has every right to demand a trade and do all that. And to have signed it and then say, I'm going to demand it, he has every right to do that. The Texans can not trade him if they want to. I mean, they can do whatever they want. So it is a situation where I have no problem with him signing the deal or demanding a trade. But I'm not like, man, get that guy out of there. Get him to a good team. Other than it'd be great for fantasy in the NFL to see him play on a great team. But let's talk about actual destinations here. Let's assume he leaves. And you can say, Tags, I'll start with you, whether or not you think the most likely scenario is that he's back. But here's what I want from you. Number one, where do you actually think he's going to be playing next year? And number two, where would you like to see him play next year for fantasy purposes if you could pick a destination?
Where do I think he plays? I'm going to be completely honest. I think he's back with the Texans. I know there's a lot of drama, but I would actually say the Texans would be my pick. I think he's going to be back with them. I just don't know, as we've talked about, I don't know if they can move that contract. I don't know if they can find a suitor that's willing to give up enough. I think the two likeliest scenarios are that the Jets and the Dolphins are the two teams that really should be in the mix here because they have some assets that they could send back. You know, Darnold can be sent back in a trade. Tua could be sent back in a trade, and those guys have some high draft picks that they can maybe include. Adam Schefter even made a very interesting scenario. Would the Jacksonville Jaguars be willing to trade that number one overall pick for Watson? And if I'm the Jaguars, I probably don't do that. I'll take the quarterback on the rookie deal because that team's not in a position to win right now. That's another team that's in rebuild mode.
In division too.
Right.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I talk about. You know, we're going to move on to Matthew Stafford, but we'll get to that. But my ideal landing spot for Deshaun Watson, I would love to see him land in Denver. You know, Vic Fangio has a defense there. Unfortunately, they've suffered a lot of injuries. They've dealt with a lot. And I think that defense can be very, very good. They have a group of pass catchers right now that is just phenomenal. They're going to have Cortland Sutton back, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant. The offensive line is decent. Deshaun Watson going to play there. That team, if they were able to pull off a trade to get Deshaun Watson and maybe send Drew Lock back and maybe a couple picks, that team is an instant Super Bowl contender, in my opinion. Again, with the defense getting healthy, they'd be able to allocate some of the picks that they have left in the draft to the defense. The Denver Broncos are my ideal situation for everybody involved from a real football standpoint and from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, Nate, look, they've got a top 10 pick, right? They've got plenty of draft ammo. Yep. They could do it. You know, they need the quarterback. And yeah, that was definitely one of the teams on my list, Tags. Again, those young wide receivers. With that defense, man, I mean, it's tough, right? Because you go into, you know, if you're Watson, not that I'm sure this would be the overriding thought, but you're like, oh boy, I'm going into a division now where basically Patrick Mahomes is going to be playing for
that'd
the rest
so
of my
much
career.
Fun. That'd be so much fun twice a year.
But it would also be very difficult sort of to say, oh boy, I'm going to, you know, I'm sure they'd make the playoffs, but the path to the division title would be more difficult. But yeah, that'd be a great spot for him. What about you, Yates? Where do you think he's going to end up and where do you want to see him end up?
Yeah, I'll answer the where I want to see him end up because it is the same in Denver. Looking at a fantasy situation, it's hard to pick a spot other than Denver realistically, right? And say like this is where he actually could end up with those receiving weapons for fantasy. That would just be so much fun. That would boost every single player on that roster. As for where I think he ends up, it's really interesting with the Jets and the Dolphins. However, I do think that those teams are Miami maybe, but Miami seems committed to Tua. With New York, they're still several pieces away from being a contender. So I don't know if trading for Deshaun Watson right now and sending away three first round picks or whatever it's going to take is going to be a smart move. Obviously, you know, it's something that they'll have to figure out. I just don't know if I see that happening. The one that is really interesting for me that I actually think I could see him ending up in is Carolina. The Panthers, I think with David Tepper there as the owner, I think they're going to be pretty aggressive. And if they have the chance to go get a franchise quarterback to rebuild around, I think they go do it.
Well, there's a lot of buzz now about Carolina sort of coming out of nowhere. So they are certainly someone they want the QB. Absolutely. On behalf of the Jets, I will just say that whatever the Texans are asking in terms of a price for Watson, I'll double it. So we're good to go there. All right. Before we keep going, guys, let's discuss Pristine Auction. And the reasons why it is awesome. Number one, it has every type of sports memorabilia that you could want. Signed jerseys, helmets, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, you name it. Number two, thousands of auctions every single day. I don't mean like 1,000. I mean like 30, 40,000, more than 10,000 football items up for auction every single day. Number three, it is free to register. It is free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And finally, number four, because there are so many auctions every single day, you get amazing prices. Jerry Jeudy jersey, $42.19 yesterday. Hanging up in my son's room right now is a framed autographed Patrick Mahomes picture. And in my office is a big frame display with Winston Churchill stuff. Both came from Pristine Auction because there is everything there. Just go to pristineauction.com, see for yourself, PRISTINE auction.com. If you want $5 in free credits, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they'll know we sent you. Again, that is pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Let's go to Stafford. All right. Stafford, though, is a little different, right? Because this is sort of a, this is not, you know, any real animosity, as far as I could tell, between the teams, right? Between the team and Stafford. This is a mutual decision by them to put Stafford in a good position to hopefully make the playoffs, maybe win a Super Bowl as he moves into the tail end of his career. Not the end, just the tail end. I'll start with you, Yates. Ideal spot that you'd like to see Stafford in, and where do you actually think Stafford's going to go?
I mean, ideal spot, I'll be the... you know, Homer here. Chicago would just be so much fun to see. But for where I actually think he ends up, San Francisco actually makes a ton of sense. With that, they need a quarterback. They've been playing this guessing game with Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he a franchise quarterback? Isn't he? He's been injured. Then they're playing Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard. I just think Kyle Shanahan's done with it, and I think he wants an actual quarterback. So I could see them sending away that number 12 overall pick and maybe plus something else to go get Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's still only 32 years old off the top of my head. He's still pretty young for a quarterback. He's been banged up, of course, but yet still pretty young. I think he could make a significant impact there in San Francisco.
Yeah, what do you guys think? I mean, we didn't talk about it necessarily, but I guess for Watson, Yates, I'll go to you first, and then we'll go to Tags. I guess for Watson, we can talk about what the actual price you think would be to get it done, to trade for Watson. But Stafford, I mean, it's basically, I mean, the 49ers, we said, had the 12th pick, right?
Yep.
If they, I mean, the 12th pick plus a little more, that should be basically what Stafford costs, right, in a trade?
I would think so. I don't think he's going to go for multiple first round picks.
No.
You know, I think, yeah, maybe a first round pick and maybe you throw in, you know, a third or a fourth or something like that. But I don't think it's going to be significant.
What about you, Tags? Let's talk about that. What do you think it costs to acquire him? Where do you think he does go? Where do you want to see him go?
I don't even know if it's going to cost a first, guys. It's not to say that he shouldn't, but I'm saying this is a weird scenario, right? I don't know why the Lions and Stafford put this on the table saying we've agreed to part ways. Why not just say, hey, we're willing to trade Matthew Stafford and put the buzz out there to teams and basically just start the conversation. But right now, it's almost like these guys have already been divorced. He's single. It's like, find the best suitor. Like, who's the highest offer? Where it's a really weird spot, because if I'm another team, it's like, hey, I know they're trading him. It's just a matter of beating the next closest guy. It's not like I have to pull him away from Detroit. So this is a weird one. So I think that he might have some input in where he goes, to be fair. I think the Colts are a team that you should look at, because they were obviously someone that felt that they were in a position to win now in that division. And I think they still are with Phillip Rivers retiring. They need a quarterback to step in. Jacob Eason has no playing experience. They don't have a quarterback on the roster right now outside of him, because Brissett and Phillip Rivers were both out of contract. So I think the Colts are an interesting landing spot. The Bears would obviously be ideal. Deshaun Watson's another guy. The Bears, it would be ideal, because this team has a defense that they've kind of wasted. They've thrown away. And eventually they're going to have to rebuild the defense. You know what I mean? They've wasted such a good defense there. But again, the Lions are not... The Bears are not getting Matthew Stafford. That's, you know, teams don't trade in division. You're not going to want to play him twice. But Matthew Stafford is one of the most underrated quarterbacks of this generation. I've grown up watching Matthew Stafford play, and the guy just, he guts it out. He's continually working out there to be on the field with his team. Like, he's just that guy, and he's just so, he is special. And unfortunately, he's just been stuck in a bad spot for a long time. So I'm rooting for the best. I don't know if San Francisco does it, because Garoppolo, he comes with a $26.4 million cap hit. It's only $2.8 million to let him go, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
So gone. San Francisco, there is some buzz with that for sure. Yeah. I could definitely see that happening, because they're a team that believes that they could win now. The question is, do they throw enough to warrant paying a quarterback that much? you know, maybe it's just, maybe they are a run heavy team just because of who they've had under center, not so much to do with Kyle Shanahan's offense. So it would be exciting because again, you look at it and you say George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, this team has that surrounding talent that it would be good for fantasy. And again, it would be good for Matthew Stafford. The guy deserves to be in the playoffs to get a shot at that.
Yeah, it strikes me as he's going to the Colts, though. Guys, I really
Indy makes a ton of sense.
It makes too much sense. And they have plenty of cap space. They've got the defense sort of to go. You know they can't get Watson because, you know, even if they had the draft capital, which they probably don't, they're not, as we said, they're not going to be traded in within the division or anything like that. And, you know, you saw them, they're willing to part with draft picks when it makes sense. I mean, they traded it last year, right, for DeForest Buckner. So yeah, they'll be willing to do it. So I think he does go to the Colts in the end. And, you know, that'll be I agree with you, though. I mean, the guy is so underrated and he's tough as nails. I mean, what he did this year at the end of the year with that team totally out of it, wanting to be out there for his teammates. It's just
it's awesome. He should have been out there at the end of the year. That should have been, they should have protected him. That was that was wrong. But by the way, the Colts, they have, geez, estimated cap space right now is about $68.7 million. So not only can they bring in Stafford, they can add a couple free agents and say, hey,
that's what I'm saying,
we are a legit contender.
That's right. They really are. Come next, if they add Stafford, ooh, man, they are going to be good next year. All right. Enough quarterbacks. Let's get to some running back rankings. Now, we all updated our 2021 running back rankings pretty shortly after the playoffs, I think, or after the regular season ended, just to sort of get them on the list. So I will make it clear so the guys don't have to, you know, run away from the rankings as I put them out there. These are very early rankings that are going to change as we get closer to the season. But for now, there are some differences that we're going to want to talk about, and we'll go through as many as we can. Let's start with the top of the rankings. We'll kind of work our way down. These are a couple of very minor differences, and they're two guys, okay? We've got Alvin Kamara and Saquon Barkley. So, Tags, in your rankings right now, you are taking Saquon Barkley over Alvin Kamara next year. Specifically, you have Saquon third and Kamara fourth. By the way, if I ever misstate any of the rankings, just let me know. Yates, you have Kamara second and Barkley fifth. So let me start with you, Tags. You're drafting Saquon Barkley over Alvin Kamara. Make the case for me.
I am. I'm taking guaranteed touches is what I'm doing, because you get a running back. Basically, you're a lock for a top. I think it's top six. If you get 350 touches in a season, you're a lock for top six production. If Saquon Barkley does not get hurt, he is finishing as a top six running back. Like, it's about as safe as pick as it can come. There's nobody on that roster that they're going to do. The offensive line started playing better and better as the year went on, and it's just only a matter of time. Andrew Thomas, you know, starting a rookie right off the bat at left tackle, it was always going to be a transition period, but they got better as the year went on. We saw Wayne Gallman performing in that offense. I like Saquon Barkley. Obviously, he's a generational talent. We all know that. But it's just more of like the situation is getting better and better for him. And he's one of those rare running backs that you legit don't have to worry about the touches. Whereas Alvin Kamara, he's losing Drew Brees. And I understand that some people are like, well, Brees wasn't the same Brees. I get that. But at the same time, the offense changes. Defenses still respected Drew Brees. They still respected what he did. Michael Thomas, is it possible that he gets traded? I don't know. This Saints team has so many damn problems right now. This team is overcapped by a lot. They're going to lose.
By $90 million.
Yeah, 95, I thought it was.
And they're going to lose Brees off that because Brees was accounting for a lot of it. But still, at the same time, there's still a lot of changes that are going to be made. This team was built to win now, and they didn't win. So they're going to have to basically take a step back and say, what are we doing here? The team is going to look a lot different next year, and Alvin Kamara is still someone that's never hit 200 carries in a season. So you were relying on heavy touchdowns, which Alvin Kamara is special. I'm not going to say he's not. He is fantastic. But the scoring opportunities are going to come down without Drew Brees. Taysom Hill is going to steal some of those goal line opportunities, as we saw when Kamara was in there. And he's not going to target Alvin Kamara nearly as much as Drew Brees did. We saw that during those games. During the four games that Taysom Hill started this year, Alvin Kamara was, I think it was the RB16 in points per game. So again, I'm not going to say Kamara is not a top five running back, because I'm still going to draft him as a top five. I actually have a tougher time deciding between Alvin Kamara and Derrick Henry than I do Saquon Barkley or Alvin Kamara. I'm going to take Barkley at three every time.
Okay. Yates, go ahead. Because again, that is the deal. When Drew Brees was on the field this year, Kamara was absolutely incredible. Still good when Taysom Hill was on the field, but those were, I believe it was four games. They were four, generally speaking, of his worst games of the season. So, you know, I think we all agree that Brees is not coming back next year, right? Like, we're all in agreement with that. So, Yates, you have him second, though. So you still think, are you assuming Taysom Hill is the starter next year? And even with that, would you have him second?
I actually don't think that we can safely assume that Taysom Hill is a starter. I think even though New Orleans is in salary cap hell, I do think that you can see Jameis Winston come back and be potentially the starting quarterback here. Taysom Hill, based on everything that we saw, I just don't know if Sean Payton is going to feel comfortable giving him the full reins next year. So I think if there is the possibility that Jameis Winston does come in, then you're going to see them airing the ball all over the field. And I do think that he can be fine from, you know, it's a different conversation, right? Like you said, Tags, never more than 200 carries. Well, yeah, he's not going to get it done through on the ground. He's going to get it done through the air. And I think if Jameis Winston is the quarterback, he'll be safe. That's one of the things right now is just like, who are the safe options, right? Which is why I have Derrick Henry as a top four running back, which is why I have Dalvin Cook at three. Like, I just want the safety, right? With Saquon Barkley, there's a little bit, I'm with you, Tags, a generational talent, insanely talented player, but yet has not been healthy. And this offense is not great. And I think that we have to talk about, even when Saquon was healthy to start the year, the production really wasn't there either. So I just don't know. There's a little bit more volatility with Saquon Barkley right now. Still have him as a top five running back, but yet with Alvin Kamara, or my early rankings, I want the safety, and that's what I think Alvin Kamara provides.
So to be fair, with Saquon, it was a game.
Well, it was Pittsburgh too. Pittsburgh, when they were fully healthy, when they were like literally that. But so the stat was, I wanted to look it up while you're talking, Yates. There have been 20 running backs who have totaled 350 touches over the last 10 years. Every single one of them finished as a top five running back. Every one. So it's not even like, oh, did you suck with those touches? No. Every single one of them, including, you know, Matt Forte's in there, Doug Martin's in there, LeSean McCoy's in there. So if you get 350 touches, you're a top five running back. And again, if we're assuming no injuries, which I don't think we can do, Saquon Barkley's about as safe as they come.
So is everybody's top five in some respect, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, and Derrick Henry?
Yeah, and I think Zeke is – I think you should make a top six because Zeke belongs in that conversation with Dak back on the field.
How about you, Yates?
Zeke's a little bit lower, but yeah, the McCaffrey, Kamara, Cook, Henry, and Barkley.
All right, before we move on, let's talk about DraftKings. You guys know DraftKings, obviously, right? You play DFS, you listen to our DFS show. You know that they have paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012. But with the Super Bowl coming up, they've got something big planned. DraftKings is the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55. To celebrate that, they have up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. You want some of this? Just enter the DraftKings free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you're going to get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you get the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize up to $1 million. And the picks aren't rocket science, right? I mean, it's things like who's going to score last, like that. Just enter the picks and boom, get ready. So download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code FantasyBros to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. Again, use our code FantasyBros. Enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge only at DraftKings. Terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's go then to the next difference, and that is Joe Mixon. Yates, you have him 7th. Tags, you have him 11th. So only 6 games this past year. He started off absolutely terribly. He started picking it up over the final 3 before he suffered what looked like a kind of innocuous foot injury that knocked him out for the rest of the year. So Yates, start with you. Make the case for him at 7.
Yeah, it's banking on the workload and the offense improving. I think that we're going to see Cincinnati invest in the offensive line. They're going to try to protect Joe Burrow. And Burrow is playing fantastic. He's elevating this offense. And again, it's the workload with Joe Mixon. So Mixon is falling an incredible amount, especially in dynasty startups. And that's just something that I'm like, I'll scoop him up everywhere because it's very hard to find the running backs who are going to get 20 touches per game. Mixon's in that category. And especially in an offense that I'm projecting to be better with a better offensive line, he's got the contract. We know he's going to be the main guy. So I think, yeah, Mixon has to be viewed as a top 8 running back, in my opinion.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see what fantasy managers are going to think of Joe Mixon as we head into the year, right? Because I feel like he's one of those guys that fantasy managers, nobody has been drafting Joe Mixon and is excited about it, basically because I guess, you know, obviously early this season, Tags early last season when we were talking about it, he's disappointing. And probably there's a lot of fantasy managers out there who kind of tune out after week seven or something, so they don't even see it. But nobody's ever excited about him. And I feel like coming into this year, he's again going to be this guy that fantasy managers are not going to want to draft necessarily tags. You have him at 11th, which I don't think is unreasonably low or anything like that, but make the case for having him lower, I guess, than Yates has him at 7.
Yeah, he's just a back-end RB1 for me. And it's not, I don't even want to say it's due to talent, but there is some question marks, right? Because I was pretty high on Mixon last year. I was moving him up, and then it was like, all right, the question marks I have are about Zach Taylor's offense and whether or not they're going to use him in the passing game. Because if they're going to continue to do what they've done the last 2 years with him, I'm out. Like, I can't do it because it caps his upside. They're not even utilizing one of the best parts of his game, which if you go back to, I remember they were showing a game between Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes on, it was a replay of that when they were back in college. And Mixon in that game was such a phenomenal receiver. And I'm like, I want to just go back to those days where Joe Mixon was used as a receiver out of the backfield because he's so damn good in that role. He's elusive after the catch. But you look at it and you say, what can they do to improve his production on the ground that they haven't already done? Because Mixon, by the way, he was number 4 in the NFL this year in terms of least amount of 8-man boxes. So he only saw 8-man fronts 8% of the time. Mixon, like if you go by NFL's next gen stats, they track how many defenders in the box, how many yards before contact he got, how close defenders were. They basically said that he averaged 0.25 yards per attempt, less than the average running back would have. Giovanni Bernard was the worst in the league at 0.66 yards per carry. So basically, they lost over half a yard every single time they handed Giovanni Bernard the ball just because of how inefficient he was. So when you see both running backs that way, and then you look at last year and it was the same way with Mixon, you're like, is this the offense? Is it basically the offense that's happening, or is it just they're not good? I don't believe that Joe Mixon's not good. I think he's a very talented. I think he's a top 5 running back in the NFL in terms of all around skill set. Unfortunately, I just don't know if this offense supports much upside. So I do think that he's going to be a very, very, very safe RB1, as long as he stays healthy, of course. So I could see moving him up my draft board, but I don't see him having the upside that some other guys do that I might draft in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, it is worth noting at least tags over his first 3 games, he saw 9 targets, and his last 3 games, he saw 17 targets. So, I mean, hopefully,
You did see Giovanni Bernard completely disappear at that point, too.
He was hurt for that part of that, right, Bernard?
For those 3 games? For his last
three games? I thought he was hurt for like the first one where, because the reason that Mixon got targets in the one game was because Bernard was out, or I think it was like maybe a concussion, but I can't remember what it was. But then basically when Bernard even came back, it was almost like it was Mixon's job. And it was like, oh, right, this is exciting. But remember, guys, don't forget, at the end of the 2019 season, or the second half of that season, they used Mixon in that role. And that's why everybody was so excited about him. And I was one of them too, because it was like the guy was finally getting 20 to 25 touches per game. He was a superstar. I think he was the RB6 over that time. And then we started 2020 and it was like, wait a minute, what the hell happened? Like, you're giving him a couple targets a game. It was a very Kenyon Drake-like scenario.
Yeah. So I actually, you know, when I'm looking at both these, I don't have a problem with him at 7. I don't have a problem with him at 11, because I do think that once you get past sort of that top 5 tags, you want to argue about Zeke, that's fine. But I think once you get past there's going to be like a lot of just independent thought as to where guys are going to go between 6 and 12 or 15 and stuff like that. I think there's going to be a lot of sort of personal preference in there. So yeah, I mean, Mixon is interesting. I like Mixon, and again, tags, I feel like I don't want to say fooled, because we have no idea what this year would have looked like total, but we loved what we saw at the end of 2019. We kind of liked the way things were trending here before he got hurt. So we'll have to see what we look like next year. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with either one, but there is a guy right now, the tags you have ahead of Mixon, and Yates has a little lower, and that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Tags, you have him 10th, Yates has him 14th. So there's kind of a big difference. Like, if you look at Mixon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Yates has Mixon 7th, Edwards-Helaire 14th, you have Edwards-Helaire 10th, and Mixon 11th. So you have them in the same range, and you actually prefer Edwards-Helaire. So go to you first. Talk us through Edwards-Helaire, who obviously was, you know, somewhat of a disappointment this year, given that the helium on him right before draft season was crazy.
Yeah, it's a little weird. You know, we've heard some coaches like Mike Tomlin talk about, you know, I don't want the rookie wall to hit them. I don't want to say that that's what happened with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but there's no way that anyone could have predicted that Le'Veon Bell was going to be signed and that they would kind of change what they were doing. Because over the first 6 weeks before Le'Veon Bell was there, Edwards-Helaire averaged 23 opportunities per game. That is more than enough to be a top five running back. You add in the fact that this team was scoring passing touchdowns at an unreasonably high rate. And again, Patrick Mahomes is going to do that. But at the same time, there was a point in the season where he had accounted for, like, I want to say it was like 25 of their 28 touchdowns. It was kind of ridiculous where it's always going to shift back. It's going to level out at some point. This team drafted him as in the first round because they really knew what they had in terms of like the offense and what they wanted to put him into. And it was just, I feel like he was fine. I think he was the number six running back, if I'm not mistaken, when Le'Veon Bell got there. It wasn't sexy. He wasn't sexy at all. It was just more like a volume play, but he wasn't scoring those touchdowns. And if he had scored those touchdowns, it would have been a lot different. So to me, this is just the classic post-hype sleeper type thing where it's like the process to drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a second round pick this year was correct. You got him tied to the best offense in the league. You had a guy that was getting 23 opportunities per game. You can't predict injury. You can't predict them signing Le'Veon Bell to basically just steal some work for whatever reason, even though Le'Veon Bell's clearly done. I don't know. I mean, Damian Williams coming back. Do they welcome back?
Is he going to come back?
I don't know.
Because if not, Darrell Williams is a restricted free agent, right? And he's looked good. So maybe he'll be sort of that second
guy. I'm
going to
be completely honest. I completely forgot about Damian Williams. 100, like, just completely forgot that he existed until just this moment.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, he might be back. I mean, I guess he's going to be back. But
the contract tolls. So I think he's under contract for this next year.
Yes.
Even if he does come back, though, or even if he doesn't, I mean, what's to say that Darrell Williams, given how he's looked over, right, you know, isn't going to basically take the Le'Veon Bell role and do it far more effectively, I'm sure. But Yates, now that you know that there is this person named Damian Williams, who apparently is going to come back next year, what do you think? I mean, is 14th? I mean, do you want to move him lower now that Damian Williams might even come back? Do you want to move Edwards-Helaire lower?
No. I feel confident in my ranking. And this is, again, more so because I haven't done projections for these guys yet. So this is more so just me sitting down and saying, like, who do I feel most, like, who do I have the most trust in? And with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, based on the offense, based on his lack of involvement around the goal line as a runner, right? Like, we saw there were total rush attempts for Kansas City throughout the middle of the season was like 12, right? Like, in per game. Like, they just did not run the ball. They didn't want to. And it's hard to argue with them. They're in the Super Bowl because of it. So I think that moving into next year, if you do have some competition here, I did expect them to bring someone in. I don't know who it's going to be, but yeah, I do expect someone to be a compliment to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I just don't have the trust factor with CEH to rank him in my as an RB1. As a high-end RB2 because of the offense he's tied to? Absolutely. But as a top 12 running back, I just wasn't there.
Yeah, I have him right between you guys at 12. So, I mean, I think we're all kind of there. The problem is they can probably have anybody they want in that running back role, and they'll still make the Super Bowl because that's what it is. So there's no real impetus for them to necessarily basically be like, we're going to rely. And again, you saw that first game where he got whatever it was, 25 carries, and you were like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Yeah. It just never was. All right, before we keep going, let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected, guys. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero out-of-pocket expenses. Join today. Never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Look, insurance does not always cover the full cost of a medical emergency. This is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code Fantasy Pros. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection you should not live without. Let's go to our next guy who you guys are a little far apart on, and that's J.K. Dobbins. Yates, you're pretty much all in on him. You've got him 12th. Tags, you've got him 18th. I'll start with you, Yates. Make the case for Dobbins as a low end, but an actual RB1.
Yeah, this is looking at the situation heading into next year. I'm saying that we already know. Like, we're not hypothesizing here. We're not guessing. We know that Mark Ingram is not going to be on this roster next year. So, as of right now, it's J.K. Dobbins, potentially Gus Edwards back, and then Justice Hill, who I'm not worried about at all. So, I think J.K. Dobbins showed enough as we moved towards the end of last year to say that even if he gets only the 11 touches per game, he is going to be insanely efficient in this offense. So I think that again, this could change. He could come crashing back down if they do add someone else, if they bring back Gus Edwards on a significant contract or whatever. But then at that point, then I'll adjust. But as of right now, I do think that we need to be talking about J.K. Dobbins as a low-end running back one.
Yeah, from weeks, I think Ingram was basically donezy at around week 11. So I'll stop it at week 16 because that's when the fantasy season ends. Weeks 11 through 16, he was the RB12, averaged 14.4 fantasy points per game. I mean, you know, that's Tags. Why not expect that from him next year coming in?
There's some amazing touchdown regression that has to hit him, right? Like, he scored more touchdowns than he was supposed to. If you look at that stretch, touchdowns were heavily weighted because he's a guy that is just not involved in the passing game. It's the same argument that we have with Derrick Henry. I actually posted this on Twitter, a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, where Derrick Henry and Dobbins, Henry ran just six more routes than Dobbins. So they basically ran the identical routes, so 223, 217. Derrick Henry actually had seven more targets. They basically ended up with the same receiving stats on the year. So when you think about the fact that Mark Ingram wasn't involved in the passing game at all this past year, so that doesn't add anything by losing him. Gus Edwards is fantastic. He's been great in terms of getting yards over what he was expected to. He's going to be on the roster. They're going to retain him. Lamar Jackson has been a guy that we've been looking for touchdown regression to him to the mean, because he's actually scored fewer touchdowns than he should have from a rushing standpoint. And then you add in the fact that the Ravens continually talk about it, and I think that we're actually going to see it this offseason. They're going to add a possession style receiver to be that number one, where Marquise Brown is more of like that. He's a guy that, he's not a number one. He's not an X. You know, you need that possession right. style yeah. receiver that yeah. you can go to in one-on-one situations. And I do believe they probably go to that in the draft because their defense is solid right now. Offensive line is one of the best in the league. They need that possession style receiver. This is a good class to probably get one of those guys. So if they add one of those wide receivers, Marquise Brown's out there doing his thing. You have Mark Andrews, and it's like, I don't see where these pass attempts come from, because it's still the same offensive coordinator, still the same quarterback. That's why Dobbins, it has nothing to do with him as a rusher, because I do believe that he's going to run well. It's the question is, what's his actual upside? And that's why having him as an RB2 is fantastic. I might be a little bit too low at 18 because this offense does produce a lot of rushing touchdowns, similar to maybe the Saints, back over the last decade. But at the same time, you have to say, would I rather take someone that has more upside because of their usage in the passing game? It's like learning your lesson from Josh Jacobs, right? Where Jacobs, everybody wants to continually puff this guy up and say, oh, you know, he's going to be a top five running back and this and that. I'm like, well, nothing changed with the offense, right? They still have the same offense, still the same head coach, offensive coordinator, offensive line's relatively the same. They just added more pass catchers. So I was like, why are we accepting Josh Jacobs is going to naturally be involved in the passing game more? Why? Because Mike Mayock said he was going to. It's the same thing now with J.K. Dobbins, right? Where I don't even care if they say they're going to throw the ball to him more, because nothing has really changed, and they're going to add a pass catcher to this offense that's going to be starting next year. So it's like that same argument, and Josh Jacobs proved to be a bad pick where he was taken this year. I know he finished as a top 12 running back, but ask anybody that owned him. He was not a good. He was not someone that you wanted to put in your roster every single or your lineup every single week, and you felt good about it. It wasn't that way, and I don't want to say I feel that way about Dobbins, because I think Dobbins is very talented, but it's just the situation that doesn't allow me to feel good with him as my RB1.
Well, that was a great introduction to our next running back, who is Josh Jacobs. He did finish again. I cut it off at week 16 for now when we're talking about this, because I don't want to really take into account anything that happened in week 17 in case people were, you know, rested and things like that. But the ninth running back on the season from weeks 1 through 16, this has got to be the most underwhelming top 10 running back finish that I can remember. Right? I mean, Tags, we talked about it every week, I feel like, on the Sunday night recap show, where it was like Jacobs like, all right, I don't know, whatever, like, fine, you know, it just, you know, he had plenty of bad games. He, you know, he wasn't consistent. He played through injury a little bit and everything like that. Yates, you have him 13th. Tags, you have him all the way down at 19. I'll start with you. I think I went to you first on Dobbins. So, Tags, you were talking about Jacobs. You don't have faith then that it's going to get better. I mean, again, he finished 9th, right? But fantasy managers who drafted him were certainly underwhelmed if they rostered him. So, Tags, you don't think things are going to get better next year. You think they're going to get worse.
So here's the thing. As Yates said, this is not projections, because Josh Jacobs in projections is probably going to come out to around, I'm going to guess 13 or 14 for me. Right. That's my guess. Yep. But in terms of who I'm drafting right now from a feel standpoint and who I want on my roster, I don't see things getting much better for Josh Jacobs. And the Raiders, all they did last year was prove to you that they don't trust him to be that only back. They, you know, right. Jalen Richard was That's re-signed. True. They drafted Lynn Bowden, who they then traded to Miami before he played a game. but even looking at the receivers, Henry Ruggs was not used. Brian Edwards was a non-factor. So it's like these guys, yeah. we expect their roles to grow moving forward. So it's Jacobs is going to start losing a little bit of that. I think he's a fine player. But it's more about the offense that he's tied to, the lack of upside that I think he presents in that offense. And that's where I have, again, projections wise, he's probably going to be around. I think Yates is probably closer projection wise to where he's going to be around that RB13 to RB15 range. But again, he's just not someone that I want to draft as like a low end RB1 or a high end RB2. It's more like if I wait at running back, and I know I'm not going to get Josh Jacobs in the, let's say, I mean, have him at RB19. That's probably around the end of the third round. For maybe top of the fourth, he's probably not going to last that long. So I just won't have him on any of my rosters.
Yates, go ahead. You have him 13th.
Yeah, and this is not like a super confident ranking him at 13, but this is, you know, or super excited to rank him all the way up here as a high-end RB2. This is more so just saying, based on his volume, I think that we have to at least put him in this range. So I agree with Tags. It's very underwhelming. Very just kind of one of these guys that I probably won't have any shares of next year. But as of right now, just based on the safety and, you know, floor that he provides, I think that 13 is probably where he's going to land for me.
You know, it's crazy, guys. I always talk about Kenyon Drake being one of my biggest misses of the year. Cause I just felt like it wasn't, I felt like I let people down cause it was an early pick in the draft. Did you guys know he finishes the RB 14 on the year? That just goes.
I did, because we're going to talk about him in a second, because you guys are very different in your rankings. Isn't that crazy? When I looked at him and I saw where you guys had him ranked, and this is one of the biggest differences in where you guys have him in your early rankings. And then I was like, okay, let me just check where he finished. I don't know what I thought, Tags. I think I thought probably like 22nd or something like that, like off the top of my head. I was like 14th.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Let's talk about him though, because you guys are very, very different in your rankings. Yates, you have him 20th. Tags, 31st right now. 31st. So, I mean, let's just talk about his season, all right? Because I looked into it a little bit when I was going through it. Because, Tags, where did you expect him when you looked at where he finished? Where did you think he would be?
Honestly, I probably would have said probably around 22nd, because I started thinking about where I was ranking him towards the end of the year. And it was like, basically, that's where you kind of feel like he would be. And then he missed a little bit of time. And he was dealing with an injury. So I was like, probably would have been a little. So I probably would have guessed around RB22.
Yeah. Crazy when I saw 14 in 14 games out of the 15 again, because I ended in week 16. Now, I guess let's start here, Tex, because 31st, I mean, that's aggressively low, in my opinion. Now, are we assuming, by the way, that he is back?
No.
Definitely.
Right. That was what I was going to mention. Like, we have to at least clarify if he's even going to be back in Arizona.
No.
Well, that's the point, Tex. So right now, again, when we do these rankings, as we have said numerous times, like, we're all going to do projections, okay? Mm-hmm. So then we're going to fine-tune our rankings, everything like that. These were just sort of like back of the napkin. Let's just get a sense of where we think, as of right now, if we had to say what we think we're going to be doing, this is where we are. So, Tags, when you rank him 31st, is this with the question marks about where he's going to be, and so you just don't want to deal with it yet at this point? Or is this, assuming he's back in Arizona, that's where you think you'd have him ranked?
No, it's baking in the risk that he's not with the team anymore. And if he is not with Arizona anymore, then he's actually probably going to plummet even further than this in my rankings, because he's not landing a starting job anywhere else. There's only a few places where, you know, there's opening starting jobs where you can clearly see that they're going to take a running back, and a lot of those guys are going to go in the draft because they want him on those cheap contracts. You know, Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, these guys are going to be drafted relatively high. There's some other running backs like Javonte Williams, but those are there's the two running backs that are coming in. Those are absolutely going to have starting jobs. And then you look at the guys that are going to be free agents this year. You know, Aaron Jones, where's Aaron Jones going to go? These are things that you have to bake in when doing these early rankings, and it's really difficult. So Yates might be like, hey, this is ranking him expecting him to be with Arizona. And if he were with Arizona, looking at my rankings now, I'd probably have him around 24. So I would move him up. But again, I'm moving him down based on the fact that I don't think Arizona re-signs him. I think that they were somewhat disappointed. Chase Edmonds showed something. I think they could draft a running back or sign one in free agency to replace Kenyon Drake, who they put on the transition tag. It was more like you did it in 6 or 8 games to close out the year in 2019. Let's see you do it for another year. And he really didn't do that. So this is me just baking in the risk that he's not a starting running back and that he's kind of just like in a timeshare somewhere.
And don't forget, I feel like, Tags, if Kyler Murray hadn't gotten banged up towards the end of the game, like, he probably is not finding the end zone,
correct,
right, as much as possible, right? Because that was the thing. The big thing about it was he was like, man, Kyler Murray is just taking all the goal line touchdowns, essentially. Murray got a little banged up, wasn't running as much. Suddenly Drake got involved. That might never happen if he doesn't get involved. So even if he stays with Arizona, man, it's just something where I'm not really that excited to take him. Now, Yates, at 20, is this basically I'm assuming he's coming back with Arizona until I hear differently for right now?
Yes, exactly. And with Arizona, we consistently saw that when Kenyon Drake was healthy and when Chase Edmonds was healthy, that Drake was getting the 18 touches per week and Chase Edmonds had a cap on like 7 to 10. So I'm really not projecting that Chase Edmonds is going to be this, you know, suddenly step into a 15 touch role or anything like that. When someone's got to touch the ball in Arizona and the touchdown upside might not be there if Kyler Murray is fully healthy and utilized around the goal line, but he'll have enough volume to be a, you know, low end running back too. So, yeah, but as of right now, I'm projecting that he is in Arizona for next year and I'll adjust when I hear otherwise.
All right, let's talk about a few more here before we finish up on some listener questions. Let's talk about James Robinson. Came out of nowhere, of course, fourth ranked running back on the season. I'm not sure tags. You know, I love one of the offseason articles that I love that you do tags is the boom bust and everything in between. I don't know how many games he's going to be a bust in this one because he was really reliable. He got plenty of targets, just like Leonard Fournette, not quite as much. So it's not a huge difference between you guys. This is more of an excuse for me to talk and hear your thoughts on James Robinson here going into next year. Tags, you have him 15th. Yates, you have him 19th. So Tags, talk about James Robinson and your outlook on him for 2021.
Well, to be fair, there were only two games this year where he scored fewer than 10 half PPR points. So there's going to be, I mean, but in terms of bust, he didn't bust at all. I could tell you that. There was not a single game where he scored fewer than 8 PPR points, which is the bust standard for running backs. But he was... Now, is he going to get the touches that he got this year? Like, he had 300 opportunities. I don't know if I don't know if that's going to happen again, especially we have a new coaching staff. So there's a lot of variables here. And someone's asked me how to value him in Dynasty. And I don't know if this is one of the listener questions we have, but Yates, I think it's a good thing we talk about it. Is like, how do you value James Robinson in Dynasty? Me personally, I'm probably selling my stock right now. Even though I'm higher than Yates right now, I have him 15 and Yates has him at 19 in these rankings. I am selling my stock because there's too many question marks here. We don't know Urban Meyer coming in, what he's going to do that running back position. We don't know if he's going to implement somewhat of a timeshare. This Jacksonville team did invest a lot on the defense last year. Do we see them use... They have, I think, 6 picks in the first 2 or 3 rounds. They have a lot of picks at the top of this draft where they can snag a running back if they wanted to and say, hey, we have a 1-2 combo because we did see James Robinson towards the end of last year kind of wear down, and that's why they ultimately shut him down. So there are just question marks, but obviously with Trevor Lawrence coming to the team, which I'm assuming they're taking him number 1 overall, this offense, it's almost like a Joe Burrow effect where you're saying that we expect this offense to be better. Laviska Shenault, DJ Chark, these guys should be undervalued, where I'm going to be willing to take those guys earlier than most next year just because of that Trevor Lawrence impact. And that should also open up some things for James Robinson, but it also might cap some things for him because, again, there's going to be more passing touchdowns from Lawrence. They may not run the ball as much, the new offense. There's just a whole lot of question marks around this. But as of right now, I'm just going to... It's building in that risk where if I knew they didn't take a running back in this draft at all, and it's like, hey, this is James Robinson's job. He's going to get 20 touches a week. I'm going to move him higher than 15 right now, but I'm baking in a little bit of risk that they add a running back and dial back his workload a little bit, but it's still going to be a higher scoring offense.
Yates, is that the same for you? Are you baking in that risk? Is that why you have him at 19?
Completely. Wide range of outcomes here for James Robinson. Tags mentioned Dynasty and what to do with him. I've said like, I'm probably holding because there's the possibility that they don't add another running back. They don't, you know, and we see the offense get a huge upgrade. Well, then 19 is going to look like criminal, right? Like he needs to be viewed as a top 8 running back next year based on his opportunity. Or they could easily say, hey, let's supercharge the position. Let's go get Aaron Jones in free agency. We have a ton of free, you know, cap space. Let's go get Aaron Jones and let's really make this offense one that can be feared. And at that point, James Robinson becomes irrelevant. So there's a really, really wide range of outcomes here for James Robinson. Right now at 19, I'm just saying, I don't know what to do. I'm placing him right here right now and he could end up outside my top 50 or he could end up inside my top 8 next year.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about 8 running backs. Let's do 2 more. Let's have an even 10. Let's go to Ronald Jones. Again, not a huge difference between you guys, but I do want to, this is a guy who I want to hear your thoughts on going in. He was the 17th running back on the season. Now we're in the playoffs. He had an injury, which kind of opened the door for Fournette to play more. But now it just seems like Fournette is running much better. Jones is still not a great pass catcher. They have Keyshawn Vaughn. I don't expect necessarily Leonard Fournette to be back, but I'll let you guys talk about that. Tags, you have him 24th. Yates, you have him 28th. So just your general thoughts on Ronald Jones heading into next year.
I mean, Ronald Jones, he finishes the number 16 running back this year with Fournette there, stealing a lot of work. And I do fully expect this team to add a pass catcher. The question is it a pass catcher like Aaron Jones? Which, by the way, in my early bold predictions, I predicted that Aaron Jones goes to the Bucs, which would just be ridiculous. but it kind of makes sense for a team that's in win now to sign a running back in free agency. Or they could add someone like James White. You know, if they add someone like James White to pair with Ronald Jones, I think that makes the most sense in terms from a cap standpoint and what you could do with the rest of the money. But Ronald Jones looked fantastic. I mean, the injuries have kind of distorted the perception of what he actually did for Bruce Arians and the trust that he had built. Leonard Fournette has looked good in the playoffs, whatever, but this is the remaining year of his deal. He's going to try and get money in free agency. He's going to be in a timeshare somewhere. Like, Leonard Fournette is no longer going to be a 20 touch running back. So Ronald Jones is still under contract. He's still in that rookie contract. So, you know, it depends on who they add there. But as of right now, I'm expecting Leonard Fournette to be gone for them to sign some sort of pass catching running back, which is fine because Ronald Jones, I mean, he only saw 42 targets this year. Even if we dock that down to 32, something like that, I'd be okay with him in this offense. So Ronald Jones, I feel like if you wait, you can start him as a low end RB2.
Okay. How about you, Yates? You're a little less excited about him. Not a huge difference. 24th, you have him 28th.
Yeah, I fully expect Tampa Bay to bring in someone, whether that is someone like Kenneth Gainwell in the draft, a rookie running back out of Memphis, who is a fantastic pass catcher, or a Michael Carter out of UNC as a rookie. Even though they did draft Keyshawn Vaughn in the third round last year, I could see them easily going back to that well in the third or fourth round this year and adding a pass catching running back. Or if they're sitting there at 31 or 32 in the draft and Najee Harris is for some reason still there, then I think they easily take him. And at that point, you know, Ronald Jones doesn't have a job anymore. It's going to be Najee Harris as the full-time workload, workhorse back. So, yeah, I think this is just a situation where I need more clarity on before I feel confident either ranking him all the way up at, you know, in the top 24 or outside my top 40.
All right, let's finish up on Kareem Hunt. Yates, without looking it up, if you haven't already, where do you think Kareem Hunt finished among running backs in the fantasy season?
Oh, man.
Just take a guess. Doesn't matter.
I don't know off the top of my head, so I'm going to guess, I'll say 21.
Tags?
I know it, so you can go.
Go ahead.
He's 10th.
No? I had If you stop it at week 16, he's 8th. 8th.
What?
8th and half PPR scorings. Hello, Yates.
This goes to show why you invest in the running back position early in your draft.
Oh.
Yeah, that's...
Thanks for ruining my Friday, guys. No, appreciate
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. When I look, this is the same thing tags with Drake.
Yeah.
When I was looking, I was like, wait, that's not right. Yeah.
You had so many of the top guys get injured.
Right. And that's the thing. What's funny, if you guys watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros, you will see me at various points looking to the side, looking at my other screens and stuff like that. And part of what I was doing is I had in my notes that he finished 8th, and I said, I need to double check that just to make sure, because it's going to be really dumb if I'm like, no, he was 8th and he was actually 22nd like you thought. So it's a weird year for Hunt, right? Let's talk about the year, because tags, we spent a lot of time talking about Hunt, about how I don't feel comfortable starting him right now. So weeks 1 through 8, that was 8 games, obviously. He was the 7th ranked running back, 14.4 fantasy points per game. They had the week 9 bye. Obviously, there was Chubb missing through at points. Weeks through 10 in the last 7 games, he was the 17th ranked running back, which, by the way, surprised me, because I just felt like he was never really somebody who I wanted to start. Like, I always felt embarrassed by ranking him 22nd or 23rd each and every week. So he did actually produce. But going into next year, Yates, you have him 23rd. Tags, you have him 29th. I'll go to you, Yates, first. I guess, what do you, now that you're all thrown off by what you thought he finished, what are you thinking about him going into next year?
I mean, he's going to move around a lot. He's going to be one of these guys that there are just so many different opinions on what to do with Kareem Hunt, because, okay, he was still getting touches towards the end of the year. He wasn't efficient with them, but yet then he did have these scoring opportunities still. He was still finding the end zone. So it's a really weird situation where I think that if you have Kareem Hunt, if you do end up drafting him, he's probably going to end up as someone as a top 24 running back. But as far as like a consistency at what you like feel about Kareem Hunt in the season, probably not going to be someone that you're feeling comfortable rolling out into your starting lineup.
Yeah, tags. Kareem Hunt's not going to be on any of your teams next year. I can just feel that, right? You have him 29th, not somebody who you're looking to draft.
It kind of reminds me of like a James White type season, right? Where James White a couple of years ago had a season where he finished as a top 12 running back, and it wasn't because he was a guy that you could start as an RB1 every week. It's just because he came with a high floor. He stayed on the field, and that's basically what happened with Kareem Hunt here. Because if you look from a points per game standpoint in half PPR formats, Kareem Hunt was actually the number 20 running back. So it's more in line with what he actually was. And he's also a guy that scored 11 touchdowns. He scored a touchdown every like seven right. receptions. So that's not right. going to happen again. Nick Chubb shows that he's the superior back. And as the year went on, I think you've seen that the Browns actually start to give Nick Chubb more goal line opportunities because Kareem Hunt yep. was struggling a little bit. And again, Kareem Hunt had tons of opportunity when Chubb was out of the lineup. That was for 5 weeks or something like that? Mm-hmm. It was quite some time that they were without Nick Chubb. So he had his opportunity to make a mark, and he continually was kind of underwhelming in that role. So I think that he's just better suited in that second role. So again, if you go by, you know, where is he going to finish in projections, you're probably right saying he's probably around that RB 20 to 24 range. But Dan, it goes back to the idea of when doing your rankings mm-hmm. every week. And do I really think this guy's an RB2? I don't. I feel like, yep. you know, over the year, he'll probably finish there. But on a weekly basis, he's more of an RB3 flex play for me. And with Odell Beckham coming back, they may lose some of those receiving touchdowns. They may lose some rushing touchdowns because Baker Mayfield, you clearly saw him learning that system as the year went on and things just got better. So, adding Odell back to the offense, I don't think he's going to force the ball to Odell anymore. You know, we're going to talk about wide receivers another day where yep. I've moved Beckham down quite a bit because I'm changing my expectations for him as a player in this offense. But Kareem Hunt, he's not someone I want to rely on for RB2 production. But again, it goes back to James White, where he was someone awesome. If you want to draft him as an RB3, I'm cool with that because you're going to get that. And then you have the upside for more when they score those touchdowns.
Yeah, this is what you always preach tags about. Like, don't look at where somebody finished right. and make the case for them, right? That's the big thing. And again, this is going to be interesting as we head into next year, guys, about fantasy managers who, again, fantasy football season, you just have a percentage of fantasy managers who midway through the season, after the first 6-7 weeks, are like, my team's out of it. I'm not really going to be putting too much into this. They might have a very sort of different opinion of Kareem Hunt heading into next year than somebody who like watched him and had him all season long because you were not excited about playing him. You were probably looking for reasons to not play him as we headed into the end of the season. So it is going to be
especially,
interesting.
Especially if they view that end of season finish there.
Yeah. As right. They look, they're going to be like, what do you mean? He was eighth ranked running back. Give me, right, exactly. What are you doing, guys? And we're going to be like, leave us alone. Okay. Let's finish up on a couple of listener questions. Nothing crazy here, but a couple of guys had some questions. Yates, you opened it up yesterday on your Twitter account. Yates, I will start with you for this one from David Cook. Early 2021 question, who do you think might be your Calvin Ridley or your Jonnu Smith that we're going to kind of go to bat for and need on all of our teams? Anybody, Yates, at this early stage you kind of have in your mind?
Oh, man, this all comes down to, like, I identify these players when I do projections, and then I can see, like, okay, based on the projected pass volume, this is the opportunity for this player. I couldn't come up with anyone as far as like Calvin Ridley or Jonnu Smith, these guys that I was going to stand on the table for. I just don't have that player yet. I don't know if Tags does.
I think I do.
Tag.
So ahead, one, Tag. This is based on expert consensus ranking right now, because these guys are like way behind where they should be. Justin Jefferson's one. And I understand that he's towards the top of the draft, but I have him as my number 8 wide receiver. And he was number 12 in ECR. I don't understand that. But the other one that's way off, T. Higgins, I have at wide receiver 16. And he was someone that was around wide receiver 26, I think. So that's more of like a Calvin Ridley range where it's like, if you get T. Higgins in the fourth or fifth round,
that's a good one.
I am all aboard him right now.
That's a great one, actually. Yates, I feel bad for you, Yates, because you're going to have to follow up Calvin Ridley.
I know.
Coming into this year, right?
The guy that I just looked at my tight end ranking. So the guy that just jumped off the page, though, was Blake Jarwin. I think as far as like someone who is going to go super late, I think Blake Jarwin, with Dak back and the offense humming, I think Blake Jarwin's probably going to be the guy that I say is my Jonnu Smith next year.
I like it. We always need one tight end, Yates, that you are absolutely tied to under all circumstances. All right, Tags, we'll start with you on this one. From Nick D, with super flex leagues becoming more and more mainstream, do you guys believe it's slowly going to become the norm for casual leagues? Like half PBR essentially replaced standard leagues for the general fantasy public. So super flex leagues, Tags, is it sort of the future of what's going to be the standard league?
I'll tell you what it's going to take for that to happen. Right now, I can't see it happening, because here's the thing. It's like anything else in life where a new phone, for example, like when I get rid of my, I have this, I don't even know what number iPhone it is. When I get rid of it, I'm going to get a new one and I'm going to hate it. You know why? Because everything's different. It changes, and you're just like, this is stupid. And then you get to the point, like, you fast forward about, like, 3 months, and you're like, I don't know how I live without this feature.
Yep.
And that's the way it's going to be with Superflex Leagues. But what is it going to take for it to get there? The question is, like, that's what has to happen, because people just, they resist change is what they do. So what needs to happen is Yahoo or ESPN, these hosting sites, need to make it the standard. If they actually are willing to change the standard, like, so PPR, some people were unwilling to do that until these sites actually made it their standard format. And then it's like, oh, right, we forgot to change the settings. And then they live with it and they're like, oh, this is not bad at all. Superflex will be a lot like that, where you almost need these hosting sites to switch over to Superflex for it to happen, because otherwise people are just resistant to change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's somewhere. I caught your iPhone 4 joke and I found it funny. So well done. Let's go to from Sean or Yates. This is for you. Dynasty trade. Davante Adams and the 11th pick of the second round for Miles Gaskin and the second pick of the first round. So Adams and 2-11 for Gaskin and 1-2. What are your thoughts?
There's a very realistic possibility that Gaskin doesn't even have this job next year. So I will go with Davante Adams and the 2-11. Pretty easy.
By the way, I might ask that very quickly to jump on that. He was a guy I was going to consider asking you. Tags, you have Gaskin actually as your 25th ranked running back. Yates, you have him 36. So are you, Tags, expecting Gaskin to be the starting running back for the Dolphins?
As of right now, I am, yeah. They're definitely a team that you could watch for a Najee Harris. I would love to see him land there, or ETN, whatever the case is. But yeah, as of right now, I have Gaskin there. But that one's so shaky, it's really difficult to do. But to answer this question, not even close. Like, I don't care if you didn't have to include the 2-11 and they gave, when you trade away Davante Adams, you need to be getting multiple first round picks. And honestly, I would want to make sure they were high picks, so that there's a 1-2 pick there, obviously. And if you get that 1-2 pick and then you get a 2022 first round pick, I would consider that for Adams, but no.
All right. Couple more here from Mike Fisher. Tags, keeper league, choose two of these three in half PPR formats: Travis Kelce, AJ Brown, and DeAndre Swift, with no picks assigned, so just pure value. Who are your two?
That is so tough, because it's like in keeper leagues, you know, a lot of the running backs are going to be kept, so it's difficult to pass on DeAndre Swift, but I'm going to, because of the new coaching staff, not even knowing who the quarterback's going to be. It's going to be a lower scoring offense. I will say Kelce is a must keep right now. He's basically a first round pick. And then AJ Brown, I have him as the number 7 wide receiver. So I'm going to keep Travis Kelce and AJ Brown, even though it might be a little bit rough for your running back. I'm going to keep those guys.
Other than the fact that it takes AJ Brown out of the "what's your problem, man" conversation, I fully approve of that. Yates, what about you? Do you agree with that? Travis Kelce, AJ Brown, and DeAndre Swift keep two?
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. I would love to have a running back, but yet DeAndre Swift next year, this Lions offense is going to be even worse. And so I think that it's pretty easy to say, you know, Travis Kelce for sure. And then AJ Brown, Corey Davis is a free agent. You could see them lose Corey Davis. And at that point, more targets are available for AJ Brown.
All right, let's finish up with a general question that's good advice for everybody, and it's from Andy Warson. What are some tips for what to do in the offseason in fantasy to prep for next year in redraft leagues, not dynasty or anything like that? And I do think that this is the case, guys, because I think that there are a lot of fantasy managers out there who just kind of tune out completely for months and months. They pick up the podcast, hopefully, and they pick up the tools in August, and they do kind of a crash course on it right before the draft. But what are some things that they could be doing? I'll start with you, Tags. Some things that you think they could be doing throughout the year to kind of stay up on it and be better prepared for the drafts next year.
This year is going to be more important than ever to stay in tune with the NFL. And the reason I say that is because the NFL salary cap is coming down. Typically, these contracts are escalating to the point where you're going to see more big names hit the market than you ever haven't before. So teams are going to change, because, like, if the people that walk away from fantasy and then they come back for the draft, they're not going to realize that the Saints are an entirely different roster. They might see some new names and be like, oh, Drew Brees is gone, but it's keeping up with all that stuff, whether it be, because we're going to be covering that, like, Yates, once the Super Bowl is done, you know, I'm going to start doing my mock drafts. Yates already came out with his first one. We're going to be doing NFL big boards, paying attention to what teams do in free agency throughout March. And that's going to impact what they do in April. And then we'll recap that. You know, I'm writing recap articles on all 32 teams, letting you know. And that's the idea, right? Is that you guys are like, hey, I can't pay attention to all this stuff like you guys do. Then that's exactly what I would expect, because you guys have jobs, you have lives. We don't. But so basically, we're going
to
write.
I have a job. I just want to make it clear. I
did. Dan does not have a job. But
this is not just me being volunteering my time.
To be fair, Dan has three jobs. So,
What I'll do though is I did this recap article last year, and I'll do it again. Where basically I run through every single team in the NFL, and I let you know the important things that you need to know that they did this offseason. We're going to recap all that for you. But again, this offseason, there's going to be so many big names hitting the free agent market. I don't even think people realize just how crazy it's going to be.
Yates, anything you want to add to what Tag said?
I'll just say, like, I would, if you can't pay attention, you know, you want that break, which is what a lot of people have, even in, when they play Dynasty, they just want a little bit of a break, right? They want a little bit of a breather. But if you can start to pay attention and tune back in around June, early June, that's when Tags and I, we were sitting down doing the podcast. That's when we started to identify Calvin Ridley, Jonnu Smith last year. This is when we started to say, hey, pay attention to these guys because they're going super late in ADP. Like, that's when we start to talk about and prepare for the upcoming season. And that's only two podcasts a week, three podcasts a week at that point. So at that point, you can still manage to, as you drive to work, as you are working out or whatever, pay attention to the podcast and start to tune back in June, because that's when we're going to really start to look ahead to the next season and get you prepared.
The only thing I'm going to add to that, and I don't say this as a shameless plug for what we do, but we are obviously here throughout the year. Like, right now we are talking about our 2021 rankings. The Super Bowl is not done yet. And even though we're not saying, like, great, Andy, you've listened to this podcast, now you know where to draft Kareem Hunt next year. That's obviously not what it's about. But the more you hear people talk about players, the more you hear us talk about, like, oh, wow, that's where Kareem Hunt finished and where was he in the beginning, where was he in the end. That just sort of by, you know, osmosis kind of just like goes into your head, and it's just going to make you more prepared for next season. We're going to be here throughout the entire offseason. I would, by the way, and a shameless plug for Yates' Dynasty podcast that I mentioned, Yates is going to be starting a Dynasty podcast with Ray Garvin. It starts the week after the Super Bowl. Yes, I understand if you're talking about redraft and not Dynasty, but, you know, Yates, you're going to be talking about the rookies. You're going to be talking about long-term outlooks. All that stuff is still relevant for redraft leagues. It will make you a better fantasy player. So I think the best thing I could say is, before I ever started thinking about doing this for a job and I was just a fantasy manager out there, staying involved all year long in some capacity, whether it's reading articles, and we've got a ton of articles that are just going to be coming out nonstop from now until the season, and these podcasts, you don't have to go crazy with it. You don't have to take notes on it, but just listening to it, listening to people talk about it throughout the year is just going to make you feel so much more informed when you get to that part of the season. So that's just my little thing. Just keep listening. Just keep tuning in now. And again, you'll feel a lot more confident and ready to go when the season comes back. All right, guys, this was fun. It was good to actually hear your voices and talk to you again. It's, well, Tags, you and I, whatever.
Whatever.
On the Dynasty, whatever. But Yates, it was great. I, you know, it's great to talk to you again, Yates. Very excited.
It was good. It was good, guys. I like you guys. You're fun.
Yeah, you're all right. I won't go that far, but you're fine. Okay. You're good.
Thanks.
Thanks to Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every day. Pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Thanks also to DraftKings. Remember, download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code FANTASYPROS to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Get an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. Finally, thanks to Ayr Medcare Network. Remember, protect you, protect your loved ones, get the peace of mind you deserve. Go to airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS. Use offer code FANTASYPROS. You will get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. All right, so we are got Tags mentioned wide receivers. That's next week. We're going to start talking about some differences. Yeah, in wide receivers. I also love it when I get to ask you guys differences, and I don't even have to say where I have them unless I want to, because I can just hold back and do whatever. We'll be talking about wide receivers. We'll do this for the various positions just so we can see, generally speaking, our early outlook where we have them. So that will be early next week, and I look forward to talking to you guys again. And you listeners, we will talk to you early next week for our discussion of wide receivers.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.